It's earnings season, and the numbers are coming out, and they show that some companies are doing well, others maybe not so well, but sometimes those numbers are misleading. And when they are misleading, they're dangerous, and we're going to look at those numbers now. This is The Danger Zone. Welcome to The Danger Zone on Money Life. It's where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. They do this by digging in at the footnotes level and working their way up, because sometimes you look at something from the top down, it looks great. But if you dig a little deeper...
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
It is possible. And if those numbers wind up proving that something is ugly that looked good on the surface, well, that's typically misleading and headed for trouble. And conversely, well, if something looks ugly skin deep, but it's beautiful on the inside, well, that may be something you want to buy. To learn more about how it works and to get more details on anything we discuss in the Danger Zone, go to newconstructs.com. Joining me now, Kyle Guske, investment analyst for New Constructs. Kyle, great to have you back on the show.
Great to be back. Thanks.
Who's in the Danger Zone this week?
Tesla, Snap, and Shopify.
Danger, danger.
Tesla, Snap, and Shopify. All of them have been in the Danger Zone before. So this is part update, part what you're seeing in the numbers, right?
Correct. Yeah, these are all post-calendar 2Q21 earnings. Digging in and looking and see that, you know, they reported numbers, one, aren't as great as they seem, and two, the valuation of each of these companies is just kind of astronomical expectations baked into them.
A week ago, when David Trainer was here, we were talking about things where basically we were expecting potential problems out of the earnings report because the numbers were disconnected from reality. These are companies that have come through the earnings report. They're still disconnected in spite of whatever's going on. So the answer is these are storm clouds, what you're seeing, right?
Correct. So, you know, we can look directly at, start with Tesla. The big headline there was, you know, they reported positive GAAP net income. If you take out regulatory credits, they still made money on a GAAP basis. We look at it, we get in, we see, you know, hey, GAAP net income, great, but they actually burned through almost $20 billion in free cash flow over the past 5 years, and free cash flow was negative in the second quarter as well. So we're seeing a disconnect there between GAAP profits and then the actual free cash flow of the business. Meanwhile, competition with the company, you know, all of their competitors are free cash flow positive, generating profits year in, year out. And so when you take that into account and you actually look at the valuation, you then see, you know, hey, Tesla, as everyone knows, is up and coming. They've got a huge market share of the EVs, but all the incumbents are coming for that share as well. But the valuation implies that they're basically going to take 87% of the EV market in 2030, which would be miles above any current market share of the current incumbents on all the global auto industry. So we see a disconnect between reported profits, negative free cash flows, and a valuation that just implies massive market share that doesn't look quite realistic given the competition and some of the other issues at the company with full self-driving might not be working well. They've got some trouble in China, and they're just losing market share across the globe because so many competitors are coming online.
Tesla, TSLA, you also talked about Snap and Shopify. What's the problem there?
Snap is kind of similar with, you know, everyone knows the growth story. They had revenue up, you know, over 100% year over year. Daily active users were huge. The problem there is really they've done all this awesome growth with no profits to show for it. In 2Q21, core earnings were negative $196 million. They burned through, I think it was $2 billion in free cash flow. So again, we're seeing awesome top-line growth, awesome user growth. It's not translating into profits on the bottom line. But when we look at the valuation, it basically implies that Snap is going to be the next Facebook, just by the current share price. They've got to improve margins to 34%, which equals Facebook's TTM margin, compared to Snap's negative 22% margin. And then grow revenue at 34% compound annually through 2027. That would give them, you know, revenue almost $20 billion and just 15% less users than Facebook. So, you know, that's simply to justify the current price. They've basically got to become the next Facebook in terms of profitability and users. Anything less and the stock holds significant downside.
And for Shopify?
Shopify, again, they had a great quarter, you know, rising e-commerce sales, you know, global pandemic, everyone moved inside, everyone started buying online, everyone started making shops and everything. Problem going forward is all of that growth is going to slow down. The company basically admits it. In the 2Q earnings release, they noted that they don't expect the surge in gross merchandise value to repeat. They expect to see a, you know, more normalized pace of growth relative to last year. But the price implies the exact opposite. It implies that growth is going to continue to grow. When we look at the valuation on a gross merchandise value, which is basically the money spent on the Shopify platform, that actually implies that it's going to be 5 times bigger than Amazon's GMV there. So we have to assume, you know, MILKPOP margin to 20% up from 12%, and then revenue at a 47% CAGR for the next 8 years just to justify the current price. And again, that would give them a GMV that is 5 times bigger than Amazon. So we're seeing a disconnect in valuations and the actual fundamentals of the business, which is kind of the crux of the danger zone here.
It is. But of course, we also know that companies can remain at crazy valuations longer than we can remain solvent. So what makes these things come to the fore and makes it that they go from being theoretical issues to the stock finally at some point reacts and responds?
Yeah, we've been, you know, saying for a while, you know, hey, all we need, you know, the market is eventually going to rationalize, and it continually doesn't. We see these valuations stay elevated for much longer than we might have originally thought. But we do think there is a reckoning between the fundamentals and valuation at some point. Just recently with Pinterest, which I think was a previous danger zone, they had a huge user growth miss. That could be something similar with Snap. If they don't continue that user growth, then it starts to realize, okay, we've got to start looking at this company on a profitability basis. Profitability is not there. Same with Tesla. As more and more competitors start introducing vehicles, that market share, if it starts creeping lower, some of that bull case gets chipped away at. And then Shopify, it's more if that e-commerce growth can't be sustained, which again, the company's already admitting, so there might be a little bit of, you know, trying to lower expectations there. We could see shares fall simply because expectations, again, these companies have to be, you know, total market dominators simply to justify the current price, and anything less means that, you know, stock's overvalued.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We'll be watching, and of course, so will you, but we'll have you back and David Trainer back as well, because we love chatting with the guys from New Constructs. Kyle Guskey, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Kyle Guskey is investment analyst at New Constructs. To learn more, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at New Constructs. And remember, when you're going to their website, if you want more information about the Danger Zone stuff here, they do full reports. There's a lot of stuff for you to see that'll give you more details if there's anything you hear that you wish you could follow up on. All right, we are heading for home on the Monday edition of Money Life. Up next, it's our big interview. We'll be talking fixed income with Adam Abbas from Oakmark when we come back in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.